Al Jazeera Podcasts.
Today, the United States could sanction units of Israel's military for rights abuses for the very first time.
With Israel, it's kind of backwards. The aid's already gone out, and then post facto, we review allegations that come in.
The U.S. State Department allegedly failed to act for months. Will it now? I'm Malika Bilal, and this is The Take. To understand where this story comes from, we're starting in 2021 with an allegation that made its way to the U.S. State Department. Back then, a 15-year-old Palestinian boy was arrested by Israel's border police after he was accused of throwing stones and Molotov cocktails. While he was detained, according to a Palestinian nonprofit, he was subjected to both physical and sexual torture.
He said he was raped by his interrogators in order to confess to throwing the rocks at Molotov cocktails.
In the U.S., the allegation was reviewed by something called the Israel Lahey Vetting Forum. It's a special panel of experts at the State Department meant to review whether U.S. aid to Israel violates something called the Lahey Laws. Those laws require the U.S. to cut off aid to any foreign military units with credible accusations of human rights violations. So today, I'm speaking with a journalist who broke a story about that panel that's been making waves in the State Department.
My name is Brett Murphy. I'm an investigative reporter for ProPublica.
So, Brett, welcome to The Take. I am going to deduce that you've had a pretty busy weekend with lots of news developments. And some of those news developments are around a story that you helped break. But I want to start at the beginning. You've been reporting on the U.S. State Department for a while now. And at some point in your conversations with officials there, you discovered that back in December, a special panel of State Department experts sent recommendations to Secretary of State Antony Blinken, and it was to restrict aid to certain Israeli military units. How did you discover it? How did this reporting come to be?
So I've been talking with state officials, like you said, for a little bit now, almost 2 months. And there's a good amount of dissatisfaction, frustration with folks inside of state right now. And I was trying to drill down on that a little bit, trying to understand, you know, what they were upset about, what's going on inside the agency. And one of the things I learned was this, that months ago, this panel of experts came up with a list of units and cases that they thought should disqualify those units from further U.S. military aid. And they sent that list up the chain to the secretary himself, to Blinken himself, and said, "We recommend that these units no longer receive aid." And since then, they hadn't heard anything. There's been no action on it at all. The term of art they use at the agency, it was put in his briefcase. And it was a big point of frustration for them. And that's what I learned about.
This panel is known as the Israel Lahey Vetting Forum. What recommendations were they making?
So there were several units. We don't know for sure exactly which ones ultimately went up, but I got my hands on this pile of documents, meeting minutes, some emails from the forum. And in those conversations, in those meetings, they were discussing a couple dozen cases. These were going back years. All of these cases, I should say, predate October 7th. And they were looking at largely the West Bank. Some of them involved the border police in Israel. Some involved the national police. They were specific units who were accused of committing some type of gross human rights violation. A lot of them were alleged extrajudicial killings, some rape in custody, beatings in custody, cases like that. And they were trying to decide, is there credible information here? Does it look like this really happened? And did Israel do anything about it? Did they hold the perpetrators accountable? That's what the forum was trying to decide in those documents I looked at.
So this vetting forum is named after former U.S. Vermont Senator Patrick Leahy, and he authored the 1997 Leahy Laws, laws that apply to any country that receives American military training or funding. So can you talk about how these laws work to prevent human rights violations and why, despite these laws, it might seem to some that Israel is playing by different rules?
Yeah, so what is supposed to happen and what has been happening since 97 is a specific unit in whatever country, Sri Lanka, Mexico, will request training, you know, by U.S. military officials, or they will request arms or equipment that are financed with American aid dollars. And when they put in those requests, there's people at the State Department who vet those requests. What they do is they look to see if that unit has been credibly accused of human rights abuses in the past. But with Israel and with Egypt and maybe one or two other places, it's very different. We give them all the assistance up front, and then that government distributes it. And for years, for more than, you know, two decades, the U.S. was largely blind to what units were actually receiving. So a few years ago, they tried to address this loophole. So the State Department created this Leahy Vetting Forum to come up with a list of units that have been credibly accused and then communicate that back to the Israelis and say, hey, these are the units that are disqualified. Don't give any of our U.S. military assistance to those units. That's how it's supposed to work.
It probably goes without saying for most people listening to this that it might not have been an easy thing for these experts, current and former, to talk to you about this for fear of their jobs and their careers at the State Department. How did that go?
It's very sensitive time right now. It's a very sensitive time right now inside of states, inside of government, really. You know, there's a lot of dissatisfaction, but at the same time, these are, you know, career civil servants. They care deeply about the work they do. And they also care deeply about the law. And to them, this is about applying the law evenly. These are not sanctions that are discretionary, like a president might dole out. This is the law that they were trying to follow and apply evenly to Israel. And, you know, it's worth saying that no Israeli unit has ever been disqualified from aid before, has ever put on this list before. So it was a really big deal what was happening over there, what happened back in December. But they all said, you know, it shouldn't be a big deal, but it was because it was so unprecedented.
Well, on Friday, Secretary Blinken was questioned about your reporting, to which he said he has made, quote, determinations.
When we're doing these investigations, these inquiries, it's something that takes time, that has to be done very carefully, both in collecting the facts and analyzing them. And that's exactly what we've done. And I think it's fair to say that you'll see results very soon. I've made determinations. You can expect to see them in the days ahead.
And then over the weekend, there were reports that Blinken plans to announce a decision to sanction one particular unit, an Israeli battalion called Netzah Yehuda. It operates in the West Bank. What do we know about that unit and how Israeli officials have reacted to this?
Yeah, so Netzah Yehuda was one of the units that the forum had been reviewing. They were kind of all over the documents. There was one specific case that the forum had taken up involving an in-custody death of a 78-year-old Palestinian-American man named Omar Asad. He had been arrested, zip-tied, gagged, blindfolded, and brought to a warehouse where he died of a heart attack.
Omar Asad, a Palestinian-American and longtime Milwaukee resident who died after being stopped by Israeli soldiers in a village in the West Bank.
Those who had arrested him didn't check on him, didn't provide medical aid, and they said they thought he was sleeping. That was the explanation they originally gave. And later, the Israeli government reprimanded some of the commanders involved, I think demoted one or two. But the forum was looking at that case as a gross human rights violation in the context of some other allegations that the unit has faced in the past. This is an ultra-Orthodox, all-male unit that has been dogged by allegations of human rights abuses going back years now, so much so that they had actually been removed from the West Bank and relocated to the Golan Heights. And over the weekend, as you said, Secretary Blinken had been a little oblique about what exactly his determinations were. But Axios first reported that one of the units that he may name as disqualified would be Netzah Yehuda. And since those stories came out almost immediately, there was this kind of loud and fierce response, rebukes from the Israeli leaders.
Benjamin Netanyahu has vowed to reject any sanctions on Israel's military after reports that the U.S. plans to cut aid to one unit.
I will defend with all my heart the IDF, our army, and our fighters. If anyone thinks that he can impose sanctions on an IDF unit, I will fight.
Opposition party leaders also said the same. Benny Gantz and his war cabinet said that he talked to Blinken personally on the phone over the weekend and pushed him to reverse course on it. So there's been a loud and public lobbying campaign against these proposed moves by Blinken already.
So, Brett, there's this now public dispute between Israel and the U.S., and it follows the ProPublica article that you authored that revealed Blinken had failed to act for months. So why now?
That's a good question. I don't have a good answer to it. I wish I did, Malika. It's one of the questions I've been asking the State Department for more than a week now, is why this delay? What has been going on between the time when these recommendations landed on Blinken's desk and now? They have said repeatedly that, you know, this is a deliberate process. There's fact-finding involved. We give it all a careful review. But it's worth saying that this is very abnormal. Other countries, when they are applying for U.S. military assistance, don't go through this process. It's not the secretary himself signing off on most countries' ineligibility or units' ineligibility. And the panel itself, the Leahy vetting review form, that really only exists for Israel. So it's unclear what additional review or fact-finding was taking place at Blinken's level or at the highest levels. And we've asked about this. I've not gotten a very good answer on it.
After the break, whether Israel plays by different rules when it comes to receiving U.S. aid.
Get your news in less than 3 minutes, three times per day, with the Al Jazeera News Updates. Just ask your home device to play the news by Al Jazeera or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
So, Brett, can you walk me through some of the most serious cases of abuse that stood out in your reporting?
It was an allegation that a teenager first made. He was accused of throwing rocks and Molotov cocktails in the West Bank. He was arrested and brought over to West Jerusalem from East Jerusalem. And while he was in custody, he said that he was beaten, tortured, and sexually assaulted. This was one of the most serious allegations that they were looking at to decide whether or not those responsible were held to account. And in that case, it was interesting, the response their forum received from Israel about what happened here. Most other countries don't get that sort of benefit of the doubt with a 90-day period in which they can respond to the State Department to satisfy any questions they might have. But they told State, we conducted an investigation. We found no evidence of torture or sexual abuse, but we did find that one of the interrogators had kicked the teenager's chair and he was reprimanded for that. And in addition, the local NGO that originally interviewed the teenager and reported his allegations, 2 days after the State Department forum went to the Israelis with questions about the case, that NGO was raided by the Israeli police and later labeled a terrorist organization.
Well, finally, Brett, we've been talking about cases of rights violations from before Hamas's attack on Israel on October 7th and Israel's war on Gaza. But there has been growing criticism of Israeli abuses that have occurred in just the past 6 months. More than 34,000 Palestinians have been killed.
Human rights groups have accused Israeli forces of using the chemical white phosphorus in Gaza and Lebanon.
There is a plausible case that Israel is using starvation as a weapon of war.
The scenes from Gaza, the huge numbers of Palestinian civilians killed or forced to move, the sheer level of destruction. South Africa says this is evidence of genocide.
So, what do your sources say about how this process might continue with new cases of violations, especially considering the other breaking news from this weekend that the U.S. House passed more than $26 billion in foreign aid for Israel?
The sources say, I mean, look at it. Look at this in the context. You and I have been talking, Malika, now for a while about one or two specific cases, and look at everything that had to happen. Years of review by the State Department, months of back and forth with the Israeli government, signaling over the weekend a chance for Israeli leaders to respond to individual cases and individual units, while at the same time, all these other things are going on in Gaza right now. And this forum is responsible for vetting each individual case. So they have said, well, yes, this could be important symbolically. It will kind of erode that culture of impunity. They're very worried. They continue to be very worried, my sources do, about the special treatment that Israel receives. And so while they say it could be important symbolically, there's sort of a long way to go for accountability.
Well, I said that previous question was my final, but I lied because I have just one more.
You sound like me. Yeah.
I'm glad you can relate. At the end of your article, there's a little bit of language that says, do you have any information about American arms shipments to countries accused of human rights violations? Contact Brett Murphy. Without telling us about your future reporting, have you been contacted? Does that work?
Yes. Yes, it does work, and I would encourage your listeners to as well. You can reach me by Signal at 508-523-5195. Mm-hmm. Sorry for the plug, but yeah, folks have been reaching out from inside and outside government with more tips, so we're going to continue reporting on this and related issues for months to come.
Well, thank you for your reporting, Brett, and thanks for this conversation.
Thank you, Malika, for having me.
And that's The Take. This episode was produced by Sonia Bagat and Chloe K. Lee, with Nagin Oliayi, Zeina Bezer, David Enders, Sari El Khalili, Khalid Sultan, Amy Walters, Ashish Malhotra, Veronisa Campana, Manahil Navid, Catherine Nguyen, and me, Malika Bilal. Our sound designer is Alex Roldan. Alexandra Locke is The Take's executive producer, and Ney Alvarez is Al Jazeera's head of audio. And you can reach The Take on social media. We're on X, Facebook, and Instagram at AJE Podcasts. We'll be back tomorrow.